from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
What is your favorite thing about football season? Tradition, experience, food? I am all about it. We're heading into what is the final Friday without football. What? Yes, we are. And I know we're ready for the weekend for more reasons than just football. It's still summer. There's still vacations and getaways. We've got long Labor Day weekend coming up. Well, a lot of us do. I'll be working, so you don't have to worry about that. But we're all about the football in our studio. And so we've got a couple of different posts up. Love to hear from you at A-Law Radio, as well as on our Facebook page. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Now, we know that this final weekend of the preseason, it's not for everyone, okay? We're not going to see Joe Burrow again. He's had a couple of really good practices. The Bengals won't start him. No Caleb Williams on Thursday night. But there are still some teams that are throwing out starting quarterbacks and starting rosters, ones, for a few series just so they can get a few more snaps under his belt. And that includes second-year Colts quarterback Anthony Richardson. So remember, his season was cut short in 2023, and right now they're trying to work him back into the offense.
Decent. Got 2 touchdowns. No, I'm joking. the interception, man, that was a tough one. You know, communication right there. Granson saw something, and I saw something else. You know, we just got to be on the same page right there. The fumble, man, they preach 2 hands on the ball in the pocket. You know, almost every day in the QB room. And I know they're going to tell me that, you know, when we get back in the meetings in the next couple of days. But you know, I feel like it was a decent game. Just me, you know, being back out there, just filling it out.
I thought it was good. Like I said, the first drive was really good. There was some miscommunication stuff on one of the plays. But to get him out there again, like I said, running around with those guys and getting that, you know, quarter and a half, it was great to see. You saw the explosiveness that he had on the first drive, made some really good throws. I think he was 7-8 on that first drive. So it was great to get him out there.
Shane Steichen, Anthony Richardson, not quite a rookie anymore, though he is still just 22 years old and heading into what we hope is his first full season as an NFL starter. We're pleased to welcome Ted Wynn of The Athletic and the Just Win podcast. He's joining us from the Bay Area, and I know you were tracking the Colts. We'll talk about them coming up. But as we think about young QBs, we've got 3 rookies who will be starting season openers. Which of these rookie quarterbacks is in the best position to succeed, Ted?
By far, it's got to be Caleb Williams, who I think has one of the best rookie situations in a long time. I mean, you have three receivers that, you know, could be potential number one receivers. Keenan Allen's coming off a career year, so there are some reports that he looks a little big and slowing down, but we'll see if that, you know, comes to fruition when the season starts. DJ Moore just had a career year last year, and Rome Odunze would have been the top receiver picked in a lot of drafts, but this year was a particularly special receiver draft, and that offensive line, they spent a lot of time rebuilding it. So I think, you know, they should be pretty decent this year. I think, you know, they upgraded a play caller. So it's just a very well-built team that's ready to go. I'm very excited to see how Caleb Williams performs on this offense, throwing to those level of pass catchers.
How do you like the fit with Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders, who are starting their eighth different QB in eight consecutive seasons?
It remains to be seen. I think Cliff Kingsbury has had a record with running quarterbacks, and they had some success in Arizona with Kyler Murray, but there's also a lot left to be desired. Sometimes the offense has relied too much on the running ability of Kyler Murray and his ability to create after the play, and we know Jaden Daniel has that in his bag, but do you want to rely on that so much, especially earlier in his career? And Jaden Daniels, his stats under pressure dramatically dropped in college. At LSU, he had one of the best offensive lines in the country, and obviously he was throwing to two receivers that would get drafted in the first round, and now he's going to a situation where that's a lot different. Commanders' offensive line could be one of the worst in the NFL coming into next year, so we're going to see how he handles pressure early on. Yeah, and like I said, there's some question marks with Kingsbury, and can he be more complete, a better offensive coordinator in his second go-around in the NFL? So to me, that's a questionable fit. We'll see what happens. Jaden Daniels is obviously extremely talented, but as we know, situation is everything with these quarterbacks. We've seen a lot of very talented quarterbacks kind of flounder in bad situations, so that's one that's up in the air to me.
It's interesting to have been thinking about the average age of quarterbacks. It's dropping. It's now under the age of 30, very much so, actually. What's the impact on the NFL as you look at it?
It makes the game a little bit simpler because you're not trying to overload these young rookies with a lot. And I think the big impact is scoring has gone down. There's a long time where scoring just kept on trending up. But in the last couple of years, scoring has trended downwards because the NFL game is hard. Part of it is defenses are trying to play more two deep shells and try to contain these offenses. But another part of it is just, you know, you have rookie quarterbacks or young quarterbacks that are just trying to learn the game. They're making mistakes. Games just haven't looked as clean as it was when you had, you know, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees dicing up these defenses. So, you know, we have a lot of guys learning. I'm optimistic about the future, and I think a lot of these guys are going to make amazing plays and be great players. And a league as a whole, we're kind of just seeing these guys budding and learning.
We're excited to have Ted Wynn with us here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence. First time covers the NFL for The Athletic and is joining us from the Bay Area, where one of the big stories is still this Brandon Ayuk situation. Ted, what's best case scenario for the Niners and or Brandon?
I think the best case scenario for everyone involved is for this to be resolved tomorrow, no matter what happens, just because I'm so sick of, like, you know, seeing all the fake news reports and all the content that this has created. I'm just, like, ready to get over it. But, I mean, to me, I think the best outcome is for Ayuk to stay with the Niners. Obviously, you know, this scheme is great for him, great for his production. And also, the Niners just don't have another guy that really replicates what Brandon Ayuk does. They have George Kittle. They have McCaffrey. They have Deebo Samuel. Those guys work underneath. They work the middle of the field. They get yak. But Brandon Ayuk is that guy that can win on the outside, and he's that field stretcher, and he really completes their team. But they don't have anybody else that really does that for them. I mean, they signed Chosen Anderson, but he's been bouncing around the league, and there's a reason why he signed this late. So I think they just both kind of need each other. Obviously, negotiations are a very hard thing, especially with the Niners, who are notoriously hard negotiators. But I hope that Ayuk's able to stay on his team because I like seeing good football. To me, that's just the best outcome for both parties.
Are there any other destinations that are still available? Because it sounds like a lot of the potential trades have dried up.
The best case scenario for the Niners would have been to trade him to the Browns to get Amari Cooper back because, like I said, they would have another outside receiver. And the Steelers just really can't offer that. They're very short in receivers, which is why they want to trade for Ayuk, and they're not going to trade away George Pickens. That seems like the destination he wants to go to. The Commanders are another team that kind of popped up today. I think Michael Silver reported that, you know, that's a team that he should report, watch out for, but they don't have any receivers to trade back to the Niners that they're willing to trade. If they were going to make a trade, they should have made the trade before the draft so they have a chance to draft a really good receiver high and that could impact the game right now. But there's not a lot of great destinations that work for the Niners and Ayuk.
So Ayuk is holding in. CeeDee Lamb is holding out. Without CeeDee Lamb, their week number one, if that's how it works out, what's the impact on the team?
It's big because the Cowboys, they said they're all in. All in means you're going to go sign some guys and add to the team, but that's not really happened. I think the biggest addition they made was Ezekiel Elliott on the offensive side of the ball, and that doesn't really move the needle much. So the Cowboys have survived because they've drafted so well. They've drafted so many blue-chip players, and that includes CeeDee Lamb, but they don't have a lot of other weapons. They have Jake Ferguson, the tight end, is going to be very good, but outside of CeeDee, they really don't have a lot of receivers that they could depend on to get open, deep, intermediate, the way he does. He's a huge part of their offense. Him and Jake Ferguson as kind of the Cowboys' 1-2 punch. And without CeeDee, they're pretty punchless on offense, really.
Ted Wynn is with us from the Bay Area, covers the NFL for The Athletic, and we're glad to have him here after hours with Amy Lawrence. One of the teams that played in this Thursday night preseason, the Indianapolis Colts. Anthony Richardson trying to come back and get comfortable again after a limited rookie year. What's the potential for that offense when he finds a rhythm?
Yeah, to me, they have potential to be a top 10 type of offense, and that's their ceiling. I don't know if they're quite going to reach that in the beginning of the season because Anthony Richardson just does not have a lot of experience. The next game he starts will be the 18th game he started outside of high school. He didn't start a ton of games in college, as we know. Last season, he started to look really good, and then his season was cut short. So he just does not have a lot of experience. He needs to get those game reps. But I think because of his running ability and because I believe in Shane Steichen as you know, one of the best play callers in the league, they have a relatively high floor. Like, they're going to be able to move the ball because they run a unique offense that teams are not going to be able to defend that well. But their ceiling is going to depend on how much Richardson develops as a passer throughout the season. And you're only able to make those developments with game reps. So we'll see how far this offense goes. But the ceiling is certainly there. I think they have a relatively high floor.
The AFC South turned out to be far more competitive than what people expected in 2023, where the Texans are able to grab the title from the Jacksonville Jaguars, who kind of tanked. The Colts ended up being a really nice surprise. We're still alive for a playoff spot late in the regular season. What's your perspective on the South after the offseason and some of the changes?
It's going to be really interesting, but I just feel like the Texans are just so much further ahead than the field right now because you know, you just CJ Stroud played at such an advanced level as a rookie, and then they went all in, adding Stephon Diggs to the mix. Nico Collins has really kind of emerged as an elite receiver. Tank Dell is an explosive play option from the slot. They improved their offensive line. They added a bunch of pieces on defense, and I think D'Amico Ryans is a great schemer and a really motivational head coach that's going to be able to get that defense to play at a high level. So I'm just all in on the Texans right now. I think CJ Stroud is going to have an MVP type of season.
Wow. What would you like to see from him in picking up maybe where he left off after his rookie campaign?
So hard to pinpoint the things he can improve on because he did so many things at such an advanced level as a rookie, but I guess you just want to see it at a more consistent level. By the end of the year, he was doing that. You just see some of these throws he made. And Matthew Stafford talked about him today. And I thought he just used the perfect term to describe him. He said he is aggressively calm, or was it calmly aggressive, or something like that. But to me, it's just the perfect, because he's so calm in the pocket, and he's making these extremely aggressive throws, but it just never seems forced because he's always on time, and he just seems to always have a beat on what the defense is doing. And it's so uncommon for a rookie and, as you know, coming into a second year to be able to do those things.
We had a very competitive AFC North last season. The Ravens were the one seed in the conference. The Browns end up winning a bunch of postseason awards, even though they start what felt like a dozen different quarterbacks. Which is the best team to challenge the Ravens on top?
I think it's going to be the Bengals because they have Joe Burrow, and I think their defense is going to be better than people expect. I think their corners have looked really good this preseason. And if you're going to give a defense corner like Lou Amonero a couple of lockdown corners on the outside, I think he's going to be able to scheme up ways for that defense to be a lot better than they were last season. And if Joe Burrow could play a full season, to me, he's a top five type of quarterback. I also think the Browns are going to be a team that falls off. I don't think they're going to reach the high that they reached last season, that defense. They played at such a high level at times, but on the road, they were just a completely different defense. So we'll see if they could be more consistent, but it's very tough for defenses just to continue to play an elite level year after year, and we've seen that proven throughout history. So we'll see if they could play at that high of a level again next season. And to me, Deshaun Watson just has not looked good since he's been a Cleveland Brown. I mean, Joe Flacco kind of really took that offense to the next level when he played, and now he's a Colt. Deshaun Watson has a lot to prove, and I don't know if he has it in him anymore. And obviously with Pittsburgh, things are a little bit of a mess with the quarterback situation right now. I think that defense is going to be pretty good. But right now, that offense does not look like it could be one that really gets them into the playoffs or maybe win a couple playoff games.
Yeah, the Steelers quarterback situation we thought was set with Russell Wilson. Justin Fields was speaking on Thursday, seemingly campaigning for the job himself. Do you see one or the other as a better fit out of the gate?
To me, I think the answer is Justin Fields, because with Russell Wilson, it kind of confuses me how the Steelers staff talk about Russell Wilson, because they talk about him like he's this safe, steady choice, but he's never been that his entire career. He's always been a guy that thrives on chaos, a guy that thrives on making plays outside the pocket. And when he kind of lost that mobility because he got older, that's when he really started to struggle. And last season, Sean Payton, I thought, did an excellent job of kind of making him a very binary quarterback and finding ways to make the game simpler for him and kind of cut down on those plays where he had to be Superman. But I don't know if Arthur Smith could do that for him in this offense. Justin Fields is a very similar type of passer. Both guys don't like to attack the middle of the field. They hang on to the ball. They take sacks. They like to throw outside. But at least with Justin Fields, he's younger, and maybe he could progress and become a better passer with more repetitions, and you have the option of a QB run game with Justin Fields, who is one of the best runners in the league. So to me, that's the right choice to go. I just don't see Russell Wilson as a safe choice like the Steelers are making him out to be.
The AFC obviously loaded. Who or what poses the greatest challenge to the Chiefs in 24, Ted?
That's tough, because I think, last year was a year where you could pounce on the Chiefs and get on them, because that offense was, there's not a lot of talent surrounding Patrick Mahomes last year. His offensive line was bad. The receiving core might be the worst that'll ever be in his entire career. Now they got some speed to that offense, and I think they improved the offensive line. And that defense lost Ladarius Sneed, but they're still going to be pretty good. That's tough. I mean, I think the Bills are always going to be a team that's going to give at least be competitive with them and maybe see them at the end, because Josh Allen, to me, is just a notch below Patrick Mahomes. The Ravens are obviously going to be in contention again with Lamar Jackson being in the second year of that offense. But other than that, I think the AFC field is very loaded. But yeah, to me, it's between Kansas City, the Bills, and the Ravens. I don't know why I hyped up Houston so much and not mentioned them as a potential AFC contender. So, yeah, I got to put Houston in that mix as well.
Fantasy football drafts are about to be all the rage for the next couple weeks, since the NFL kicks off exactly 2 weeks from tonight. If you're drafting, who's your number one pick?
Ooh, that's a tough one, because all the top receivers all have question marks to them. Like, Justin Jefferson could be a number one receiver. The number one guy taken off the board, but some are questioning his quarterback, who's going to throw to him.
Yes.
But to me, I still like Justin Jefferson, because Sam Darnold is a quarterback that struggles with turnovers, he doesn't struggle to throw the ball downfield. So if he throws for 400 yards, but he also throws for four interceptions, that doesn't affect Justin Jefferson's stats. So to me, Justin Jefferson's still the number one guy. I've drafted Tyreek Hill the last couple of years, and he's been extremely good to me. But later in the year, when it starts getting colder and Tua starts to struggle, his stats really fall off. So, you know, Tyreek Hill could be a guy that just carries you in a regular season. But when it starts getting a little colder, the competition gets a little stiffer, those stats just start to drop.
I would agree with you on Tyreek Hill, though. 2 years ago, won my league, and he was by far the top point getter. He can be dynamic, the two of them together. All right, that's interesting. I was still thinking about it. Not that I ever end up with a number one pick. That hasn't happened yet in any of my leagues. You can follow Ted Wynn of The Athletic on Twix at @FB_film analysis. He's also got the Just Win podcast. It's good to talk to you. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Thinking about the age of quarterbacks, that's kind of been on my mind the last couple of days. Don't know why. These are the weird places that my mind goes, especially as we get closer to football season. But it really is true that the average age of the starting quarterbacks in the NFL is dropping. It's dropping drastically. So we'll talk about that a little bit coming up this hour. Also, the mystery of the missing personnel. On Thursday morning, we had a missing person. We had to put out a, what are those called? Don't tell me. Don't tell me. When someone's missing, you have to, there's some type of an alert you put out. What's it called?
Well, they're multiple.
Law enforcement. No, law enforcement.
There's the Amber Alert.
No, not, well,
missing, right, that's, missing person report.
No, no, no. There's something you put out a, shoot, a BP? No. What's, it's going to drive me crazy. You see it in movies all the time. Not an Amber Alert, because this was not a child.
Gray Alert.
He's acting silver like a alert. Child.
Wow.
Silver Alert is for seniors. I don't think he's that either. Anyway, I need to know what happened. What's your favorite thing about football season? Tradition, experience, food? At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Hello. We're almost there. Almost the weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
We're not trying to revisit the Junction Boys, but at the same time, this country club style that's kind of taking on all of sport, not just football, but all of sport. There's a fine line. They've got to be ready to play football.
The voice of one Robert Sala, the country club style of sports. How would you define the country club style of sports? It's kind of interesting to hear him say that. Right on the heels of Brian Flores and Tua Tagovailoa and the revelations that we heard about how Brian used to speak to Tua. Now, Brian has essentially said he was wrong and that he's trying to learn as a coach, that these were not his finest moments, admitted that it was tough to hear Tua call him a terrible person. But he's completely different than a Mike McDaniel. Much more validating for Mike. Mike's much more positive, though he is running around the Dolphins headquarters, the Dolphins facilities all this year, reminding everyone of the number 24, which is the last time they won a playoff game. But yeah, major differences between coaching styles and certainly old school and new school. So as we hear Robert Sala again refer to the country club type of sports, the, you know, country club approach, it's kind of interesting food for thought.
We're not trying to revisit the Junction Boys, but at the same time, this country club style that's kind of taking on all of sport, not just football, but all of sport. There's a fine line. They've got to be ready to play football.
I don't want to put words in his mouth, but country club set, a little easier, cushier, catered to, cleaner, not as strenuous, people waiting on you hand and foot.
Stop talking about me.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers derives from the country club style of sports, the country club approach to sports. Not hardcore, not tough. mean, it's open for interpretation.
I don't think so.
But I do think it's interesting that he says that on the heels of the Brian Flores to a Tagovailoa conversation. Some of you weighing in about your favorite foods. Well, I put in foods. Your favorite traditions or experiences from football season. We'll get to those at A-Law Radio. Plus our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. But we got to get to the bottom of a mystery. Marco Belletti wasn't here when this happened because you depart about 20 minutes before the earliest of the morning employee shows up here at the network. So generally, on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday mornings, we have a young man named Billy who shows up in our newsroom, mm-hmm. and his entire job, well, at least for the first few hours that he's here, mm-hmm. is to produce the sports minutes. Mm-hmm. He's been doing this job for almost as long as the network has been a thing.
Yep.
Yeah. He loves that job. Seemingly doesn't want to change jobs. That's the job that he has stayed in for a decade, I think. Good for him. Great. It's not just my sports minute. I do the earliest of the sports minutes mm-hmm. on the network. After that, Boomer Esiason mm-hmm. gets paid a lot more than I do. And he has 5 different hours worth of sports minutes. So he comes in before his morning show on a New York affiliate, which is down the hall. And he records, now someone writes them for him, but he records, he probably adds a few words here or there. He records his 5 sports minutes all in a row. Mm-hmm. And then it's up to Billy to have them processed and into our system, but not just our system here in-house. They get distributed to our entire network of affiliates.
Right.
Now, our affiliates play them at different times. So even though I have to have mine ready at 4:50 Eastern time, sometimes the local affiliates may not play them till an hour later. It's up to them.
Right.
Again, you know, those of you who are listening to a local affiliate, when you hear the Sports Minute on a regular basis, many of you reach out to me and you said, oh, I heard you, la, 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 great. Okay. Well, here was the issue. Thursday morning, I go in, I record, I come back out. It's our break at the bottom of our third hour, which is 4:35 Eastern time. And there's no Billy. Okay, getting a little nervous, but sometimes he cuts it close. And he can do that because I make the sports minutes perfect. He doesn't have to do any editing. I'm a control freak, so I do my own editing. But we get into, so I say to Manny, I don't see Billy. Mm-hmm. Have you heard from him? Any idea if he's on the schedule? Is he coming in? Manny checks the schedule. We find out, in fact, that he is the one that's supposed to be here. Top of the hour, another break. Still no Billy. So at this point, my sports minute is late, if you will. Now, of course, being the selfish host that I am, the first thing I think of is, oh, great. The automated stations around the country are going to play my one from yesterday. Right? Because that's the thing is if they're automated, it just plays whatever's in the system.
Correct.
And the system didn't have a new one as of Thursday morning. Well, another hour goes by. We get off the air, still no Billy. At this point, we've had someone who's had to step in and kind of help out. Manny, others from down the hall, they're wondering what's happened to Billy because it's not just us at the network. It's also Boomer, la, la, la. So when I left, I didn't hear what happened. So I'm hoping that somebody has any idea. Manny, did we find out anything about Billy before you left?
Yes. Before I left, yes. I did get a phone call for one Billy, yes.
Mm-mm. And so what happened?
He called frantically and apologizing frantically as well for oversleeping.
That's what it was, huh? Missed the alarm. Phone died. Which is it? Manny's very tight-lipped in there. I guess he's trying not to embarrass Billy.
I gave you all the information. I don't know. I feel
so like... Did you answer the phone or someone else did?
No, he called me. He called my cell phone.
At what point was that?
6:15.
So we were 6:30. Off the air, and oh my goodness, 3 hours after he's supposed to be here. Could you imagine? I would be panicky as well. Have you ever had one of those mornings, or in my case, it's usually a night, where I lay down or lie down. I lie down for a nap. I've got an alarm set, or so I think. And I wake up without the benefit of the alarm, and I know instantly something's wrong. Either it's too dark, or there has been no alarm, or all of a sudden I've got just all kinds of warning bells flashing in my head. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had one of those moments?
A lot. Now, I've not, luckily, knock on wood, I've never overslept for any of my radio jobs. That paranoid and...
Just personal things?
Well, no, I used to... I had other jobs that I overslept. I used to miss them by like 3 hours. That happened all the time. I don't know. You get older and get a little better at this. I used to have alarms set up all over the room. And I would honestly wake up and not remember. And I would shut them all off all the way around the room and go back to sleep and not know it. So, I had an issue with that when I was younger a lot. You get older and, I don't know, paranoia makes you wake up, or I'm never comfortable, so I never sleep for very long. So that's part of it. But I think we've all done that. I mean, everybody's screwed up once or twice.
Right. Well, that's the thing, is Billy's very reliable usually. Yeah, and so I can imagine he was panicked. But yeah, I've had a couple of those where I woke up, happened to be a Sunday night after what was a, you know, and obviously not during football season, after what was a busy weekend, maybe it was out in the sun, whatever. And I'm taking a nap. This is pre getting married. And all of a sudden I awake and I realize something is terribly wrong because I haven't heard the alarm. Only one time that I missed the start of the show in 12 years, I overslept to the point where I couldn't physically make it here in time. And I remember, actually, I think it was, well, that wouldn't have been a Sunday night. One time Scott Farrell had to continue on for a few minutes until I could get here. Now, other times it's been traffic, something like that, that's mm-hmm. panicked me out. But only one time have I ever missed the start of the show. I remember I had a phone that died and the alarm didn't go off. And I told our previous boss, Eric, what happened. And he said to me, from now on, you better set two phone alarms if that's what you're going to use.
Yeah.
He was not unkind, but he also was not babying me.
He had no interest in excuses.
No.
Ever.
What? No whatsoever. So what time did Billy get here, Manny? Were you still in the building when he arrived?
No.
Well, I would imagine you left pretty quick after that. You were only here for a few more minutes after that phone call.
Yeah. Right. Not too long afterwards. Right.
Who was doing his job?
It was a combination of myself and another colleague of ours. Yeah.
So once we heard from
Billy, band together around here.
Manny bolted. Right after you heard from him, you bolted.
I stayed for a few minutes, aka 45 minutes, so I can podcast and do what Billy needed to do, so I can upload everything. And then once he said that he'll be coming in eventually.
Right.
So
eventually,
I did what needed to be done ASAP, and I skedaddled like a good employee.
The moral of the story is, from now on, we're going to have to send up the flare earlier because we didn't set it up early enough and sports minutes were not done on time.
I would say that if you know who it is and you know that they're however long that they're not here, I wouldn't hesitate to call. That usually means, especially somebody like him. The only other time I remember Billy ever being late was when he got into a car accident. I remember that, and he called us.
Well, that's why I started to get nervous, because people were calling him. He wasn't responding.
Yeah. That's the only time I ever remember.
And that's worst-case scenario.
Great guy. Hell of an employee. That's the only time I remember him being late, and it was because he got into a car accident, and he didn't call us until, you know, maybe 5 or 10 minutes after his shift started. And he's like, I don't think I'm going to get there. I think my car's totaled. We're like, are you okay? Mm. Yeah, I'm all right.
The all points bulletin was the term I couldn't come up with from law enforcement. We put out the APB for poor Billy. But let's see. Thank you, Chad, Jeff, Seth, James, John, Shannon, and Stan. All of you weighing in about the APB, the all points bulletin, because I couldn't come up with it. And then also another tweet or a bolo. Which is be on the lookout. But that wasn't what I was. I do like bolo, but it was not.
That one's new to me. I don't know that one.
Yeah,
I'm not cool.
They do bolos in law enforcement too, but it was APB, which may be old school, like from Chips. Remember the old school?
No.
Motorcycle cops.
You really think Manny's going to know Chips?
Well,
Chips was probably off the air 15, 20 years before he was born.
Eric Estrada?
Yes, Eric Estrada.
Hey. Yes.
Good for you.
And then they did a reboot of some sort after that, I thought.
Why?
I don't know, Carlos Peña, I think.
I don't know that it lasted very long, but they did do another one.
They shouldn't have.
Yeah. I don't know. There is such a thing, though, as all these, you know, this nostalgia. What's the network that brings back? Is it Nickelodeon primetime? No, Nickelodeon.
You thinking of Nick at Night?
Oh, Nick at Night.
Maybe there are primetime networks that will bring back some of these old shows and regurgitate them.
Catch some Friends. Yeah. Love Friends.
Yeah, I don't know if Chips quite hits that.
Wasn't a classic.
In some ways.
Where is Eric Estrada now? Okay, let's figure it out. How old? Take a wild guess. Don't look.
How old?
Well, you've got a computer in front of you. How old do you think Eric Estrada is now? Also, his first name was Henry.
Oh, that I had
no idea. Still good looking.
Wait, what do you mean was? Is it still his first name?
It's still his first name.
Oh, okay.
I didn't realize it was at the time. 75 years old.
Okay.
Would have had no idea. He was born in the 40s.
Well, I said 60. Yeah, again, Chips was quite a while ago.
And actually, people want to know on Google, what happened to Eric Estrada from Chips? He actually became a reserve officer for the Muncie Police Department in Muncie, Indiana.
Was he on a bike by chance?
He's made numerous appearances supporting automobile child seat safety checks around the country.
Did he ever, like in real life, do the slide across the hood of the car? I know that was more of a William.
That was Dukes of Hazzard.
No, that was more of a William Shatner, but still.
Wait, William Shatner?
Oh, yeah, played a cop. That was his thing.
I had no idea. I thought that was from Dukes of Hazzard with Bo and Duke.
Bo and Luke. That was different. That was the slide across the general?
The General Lee.
General Lee.
Yeah.
But that was different. I'm talking about William Shatner did more like the roll across the hood. It was a little different. He was a cop. I forget the name of that show. Huh.
Yeah, sure.
He was a cop.
Do you remember the other cop in Chips?
No.
He wasn't nearly as popular.
Neither does anyone else.
Right. His name was Larry Wilcox.
Yeah, it doesn't fly.
And apparently, they were working despite a strained relationship. The things that you find on Google, because Estrada wanted a larger salary and more screen time. I mean, he was very attractive. Still very attractive, at least in my opinion. 75 years old. Wow. Okay. Don't have to worry about the APB on Eric Estrada. We're all good. Phew. And we've solved the mystery of Billy. Good to know.
Now I need to know the show that William Shatner was on. Somebody help me out on the show.
William Shatner?
I'm telling you, he played a cop.
William Shatner cop show?
Yes.
You're sure that you're not thinking of Dukes of Hazzard?
No, I'm positive. I think it was Heather Locklear was in the show, too, if memory serves.
Cop show. Police Squad?
Is that what it was?
I don't know. I'm asking.
I don't remember.
Yeah, Police Squad.
Okay. I remember rolling across the hood. That was his big move.
Wow. I'm going to have to look it up. It took
a week to get him across that hood.
This was from 1982.
Yeah. Seriously. Okay. What do you think Chips was? Chips was like 78.
Was it?
Chips was a long time ago, man. Huh. Eric Estrada was 75, you said?
Yes.
I don't think he was 50 in that show.
Leslie Nielsen was in Police Squad.
Yeah, that was based, and then that turned into The Naked Gun. So it was kind
of
like.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah, I feel like the William Shatner wasn't Police Squad. I feel like it was a little bit different.
Chips, 1977 through 1983.
See? I said 78. I'm right in the ballpark.
Yeah, you are.
Top of my head.
Way to go.
Marco for trivia.
Come on now.
That would be fun. March 16th, 1949. Oh, Eric Estrada is a New York City native. Had no idea. So much I didn't know. So many things Google can teach me. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. I hope you feel enlightened as well. No APB necessary for Billy this morning, we hope, but we'll keep you posted. Here's our latest sports update. He's 75 and he has Insta. And here's Marco Belletti.
75. Infinity Sports Network.
Not you.
Closing in on it.
Eric Estrada.
Closer and closer.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
0-1 to Olsen, and he swings and rocks one out towards deep right field. Back to the wall. Now Castellanos over his head. That's off the base of the wall. It's an RBI double for Olsen, and the Braves take the lead 2-1 here in the bottom of the third inning.
2-0 to DeVall. Swung on, driven deep to left center field. That's got a chance to get out of here. It is gone! As called by Jonathan Chadwick, he said he was going to go deep, and Adam Duvall cleared the dirt. He cleared the warning track. He cleared the fence. 3-1 Atlanta on Duvall's 11th homer of the year and his 30th RBI.
On the Braves radio network, Adam Duvall goes 3-for-3 in this battle between top two teams in the NL East, but more importantly, two rivals. So we had just talked to Sandra Golden of our Atlanta affiliate, 92.9 A Game, about 22 hours ago and asked her about the Braves and their staying power. And if you didn't hear it, you want to make sure that you check it out. We'll get back to a few more of the baseball headlines, including the firing of Scott Servais by the Mariners after they've lost 9 of 10. Remember in 22, they were a 90-win squad, and they ended a decade. They ended a 2-decade-plus stretch in which they did not make the playoffs. It was painful. It was the longest stretch in all of pro sports. 21 years without making the playoffs. They finally got in, but they've been woeful since June 18th when they had a 10-game lead atop the AL West, and now that belongs to Houston. So credit the Astros, but also sinking like a rock. I thought this is something only the Angels did in the AL West. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Okay, so many of you are reaching out on social to offer corrections. This is not my area of expertise. 1970s cop shows, this is not something that I could win in a trivia night. Right? But lots of you are reaching out and saying that T.J. Hooker was the police show with William Shatner and Heather Locklear, who I do remember, both the actors, of course. And another one of our faithful listeners says that Marco is thinking about Starsky and Hutch. Starsky jumped over the hood of his car in the first episode.
There we go. There we found out the mystery. But yeah, while he was doing the update, I started screening calls 3-4 in a row. T.J. Hooker is the name of the show you're thinking about. Huh. So okay. While he was playing, a clip, I whispered in his ear, T.J. Hooker, and the excitement on his face when he remembered that it was the name T.J. Hooker.
So you got into his ear while he was doing the update,
and he actually wrapped up his update by saying, "Yeah, T.J. Hooker, thank you, callers. I'm Marco Belletti."
Oh, okay, I missed that. Sorry, I was in the other studio listening to some other audio. Okay, so then T.J. Hooker is the correction. I've not seen TJ Hooker or Police Squad. Those were before my time, I guess. Those are two shows. I vaguely remember Chips. I think my mom used to let us watch it on reruns when we were kids. I'm trying to think if, yeah, I don't remember a whole lot about it, just Eric Estrada. And the fact that they look super cool in their California Highway Patrol uniforms. That's all I know. Lots of you weighing in with your favorite football traditions, experiences. Why am I the only one to go with the food? At A-Law Radio on our Facebook page as well. We're glad to have you with us. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nore Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.